Sometimes you just want to believe this is an alien conspiracy. Let's explore this in this edition of Substitute Intelligence. The alien next door. I should have turned in green the minute he moved into the neighborhood. He was such an odd fish. He had to be some kind of alien species. Their kind have spread throughout the planet ever since our kind made contact with their race on other planets. Town by town seemed to lose identity and turn into some kind of alien colony. Even the landscape changed, new crops rising up and crowding out what we always had growing around us. Strange flowers, weird trees, and foodstuff bad enough to make any true human sick. Conditions got so bad, I started wondering if I had landed on another world rather than the other way around. I felt like an alien on my own planet. Fortunately, our town has a strong anti-alien committee, one that doesn't always wait for the law to make a determination. And for this reason, we have managed to keep the intrusion to lower levels than most other towns. While we can't just ban them from our neighborhood, we can make it difficult for them to stay. So finally, when I pointed out to them my suspicions regarding Green. They put him on a list and started to watch him. I even let them use my yard as a staging area so that they could take samples of his plants and monitor his transmissions, and even listen in on what he and his family said inside their house. This, of course, gives me great feeling of safety, since I know I have my own kind around me, looking out for our common interest, the human race. Then, when the report came back saying that indeed the plants growing around Green's house were alien, I felt sick and dirty, wondering how much my family had become stained by contact with these. This is particularly egregious variety that is known to take over whole yards and fields, and I see a vision in my head of a whole world being swallowed because I failed to report Green earlier. We understood that if the plants are alien, we can be assured Green is too. Well, we can kill the plants. What do we do about Green? The committee offered to burn down Green's house, and I agreed until I realized they meant with Green and his family inside, at which point I suggested we report Green to the government and let them handle it, since laws do exist about promoting alien plants that endanger earthly species. I am not an unkind man. I don't want to see anyone hurt, even aliens. I just don't want them ruining my neighborhood. The committee seemed to agree, but insisted on burning the plants first. I can tell you how great a feeling I felt watching those plants burn, as if we had struck a blow for civilization. I was proud of the role I played in fighting back. Perhaps this wasn't just a blow against alien cultures, but against the whole concept of greed that had infected our lives over the last few centuries. Certain members of our society making their fortune off the depleted resources of our planet, therefore forcing us to look out beyond our world for new resources. These greedy fools, who allowed our world to use up its coal and oil, were as responsible for our being invaded by aliens as the aliens were. We would not have encountered the aliens so soon had not greed pushed us into space too early, before we were fully prepared to fend off changes alien life forms brought with them. The fire, however, only lighted another more furious fire in the eyes of the committee, who then decided to kill Green anyway, at which point I called the police. Green wasn't a bad person, I thought. He just wasn't human. I didn't think he ought to die just for that, simply sent back to where he came from, if that was possible. When the police came to collect him, Green blamed me for everything, glaring at me with such hate, I was stunned. The committee glared at me, too, for spoiling what they thought of as a perfect plan, calling me an alien lover and promising to burn my house down next. The authorities were upset with us all because it seems that setting the fire to the plants only made the alien plants grow faster, and within a few days, the plant took over our town like plague. I took refuge in my house and tried to clear all the plants I could from around it. In this, I hoped to serve as an example to my neighbors and perhaps convince them that I did not love aliens or alien things. With Green gone, I felt as if the world had become balanced again. As it turned out, I was deluding myself. Where there is one alien we see, there are hundreds we don't see. The committee, being savvy to this, started killing first and then asking questions later. Every night, I could see the flames outside as the committee burned house after house, hoping to get rid of the aliens we could not see. It scared me to think the more we killed and burned, the worse the problem got, because I started to see more aliens, not less, as if they, too, sprung up as a result of our violence. So overcrowded has the Earth become that I decided to emigrate to one of the ice planets. I saw no aliens named Green, nor any of the weeds that needed fire to spread. People here don't care who or what you are as long as you do your share of the work that keeps everybody alive. I feel better. I'm no longer worried about aliens as much as I am worried about dying. Quarantine. We're all stuck in our houses, partly because leadership has an idea that it can cure the common cold by making us lock ourselves up. I talked to my ex-wife in Scranton, and she's terrified of the bug that is going around. Media keeps finding people who have tested positive, and so she has them marked out on a map to determine how close they are to where she lives, and pondering if she ever met any of them, and whether or not she is going to come down with it too. She thinks when media reports a positive case, they mean that person is going to die, the way many believed they would when HIV first emerged in the 1980s. It's like a game with reporters and public officials sending out broadcasts saying, "We got one too." No one bothers to report how bad the case is or the fact that the person probably doesn't have symptoms worse than the common cold. My ex-wife and a lot of other people think it is the angel of death approaching, and they hunker down in their homes hoping the lamb's blood they spread over the door, disinfected, will allow death to pass them by. It's hard to argue with such logic, to tell them that this flu is like most other outbreaks that came before it. Easier to catch, but not more deadly, eyeing an older population than the previous editions that piled bodies of kids up. But I saw the coffins in Italy, my ex-wife tells me. Mostly very old people in nursing homes or in family attics in a country that saw a massive influx of textile workers from China, making the disease Chernobyl of the 21st century. We have CDC projecting millions of deaths in the U.S., but can't produce an accurate account of the deaths that took place in previous epidemics because they never kept track of any except the kids. And so, like climate change science, the whole thing is based on projections, a new kind of smoke and mirrors. We're expected to accept this fact. And the most foolish do, in particular, public officials who panic and pass laws to contain it. Newark is the worst, where the son of one of the greatest radicals of the 1960s has turned his city into a police state. At first, I thought the governor was going to do the same thing, too, but after an hour and a half of blather, he wimped out and basically told us to go home and hide under our beds while putting out of business many of the mom-and-pop stores he and others boasted about as diverse in the past. This horror is not going to go away. This comes out of a belief that we can socially engineer society into something we envision, forcing people to smoke what we tell them to smoke, drink what we tell them to drink, put our groceries into bags we tell them to carry. Now we're telling them we can legislate a cure for the common cold. Such ego.
Just here for
That first winter. Observation, April 15th, 1974. Who am I, saith the prophet? Who am I, saith the Lord? I keep thinking I'm equal to everybody else, but everybody likes to think they're better, and it annoys me, this parade of special people who cut in front in line, who want to get on the inside track, not just because they can do anything better than I can, or even that they're smarter, but because they can. I stand by the waterside, waves washing up at my feet, staring at an early evening moon that somehow showed up before the sun has gone down, confusing me as to which I should pay more attention to. I'm so full of dreams, I'm near bursting, and know that that without dreams, the future does not exist. Who am I? I don't seem to have a place in this world. No more foothold than the loose sand that the sea takes back when its waves retreat. It is too much to expect that I have a dream to hold. Some quick-witted people like to mock me, treating me like I'm stupid when I'm not. I just like to think things out carefully before I make a move, to shape my dreams so that I don't make a mistake and grab hold of the first dream that comes along and end up someplace I might hate. But who am I? You tell me.